In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we are at Zacchaeus Sunday. Who knows what that means?
Lent is coming.
Lent is coming. And what else is coming? Pascha, right? The feast of the Lord's resurrection. The feast of our salvation. The feast that we celebrate in this age and partake of fully in the next age. This is what we live for as Christians, to be incorporated into the Lord's Pascha, his victory over sin, death, and the devil. We are entering into the greatest portion of the liturgical year, the most important time of our lives. Zacchaeus is given to us on this Sunday to look ahead. Zacchaeus, as we heard, was from Jericho. And he heard that the Lord was coming that way, and he climbed up into the sycamore tree, climbed up high, and he was able to see, and he saw what was coming, and we see Pascha come. He saw Pascha come, the Pascha, Christ, and he saw his Pascha coming, his salvation, his deliverance. Zacchaeus is a wonderful example of what we've been talking about. We've been speaking as we looked at the Lord's theophany, his epiphany, his baptism. We've been speaking about how the Christian life isn't about finding the best version of ourself, like going to a car wash and having ourselves cleansed there. That was John's baptism. The Lord's baptism is going to the car wash and saying, I'm just going to trade the whole thing in. And we partake of the Lord's life. That's what Zacchaeus did today. He traded in and partook of the Lord's life. Now Zacchaeus, he was a bad guy. There's no way around it. It says in the gospel that he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now the tax collectors were working for the Romans, who were there occupying the land of milk and honey, the land that God had given to his people. And they were oppressing the people, the Romans. And the tax collectors were on the front line of this because they were collecting the money. And you know what they did? They took a little for themselves. And probably the chief tax collectors took a lot for themselves. And this is how Zacchaeus became rich. He was not only a traitor to his people, but he was a thief. He was the lowest of the low in the eyes of the Israelites. Now Zacchaeus, being such a bad fellow, was looked down upon by the people of Jericho. In comparison, he was really the worst guy in town. And probably there were some people there who said, thank God I'm not like this publican. I pray, I fast, I get tithes of all that I possess. Thank God I'm not like this Zacchaeus. And maybe sometimes we might think, well, thank God I'm not like him either. I'm kind of just a normal guy. I'm not a traitor to my people. I'm not a thief. I'm just a good citizen of the planet Earth. Thank God I'm not like Zacchaeus. Of course, if we have that attitude, just wait till next Sunday when we hear the gospel of the publican and the Pharisee. And we're reminded how the Lord came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You could almost put a second part to that saying, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, probably because those who consider themselves righteous are not even listening. You could call them, but they're not listening. Because they're happy and content with their own self-righteousness. The people of Jericho were largely that way. They compared themselves to Zacchaeus and they thought they were pretty good. And yet if we look at the spectrum, and you might say Zacchaeus is on one side of the spectrum. The people of Jericho were not on the other side. On the other side of the spectrum, for evil is good, and God alone is good. God is on the other end of the spectrum. The people of Jericho, maybe they were better than Zacchaeus, but they were not better than God, and they had fallen way short of who they were to be. We think of this spectrum, and I want to share with you an illustration, because I think that illustrations are sometimes helpful to understand spiritual matters. That's why the Lord used parables. Think about a gentleman who goes to his company's picnic, and they have a slow-pitched softball game there. And he has a few in him, and he's up to bat, and he gets a home run. It's a home run. And he's high-fiving everybody in the office on his team. And after the game, on his way back to the car, he sees a t-ball team. And the kid's trying to hit the t-ball. And he's swinging and he's missing. And he's hitting the tee. And he just can't get a hit. And the guy laughs at the kid. He says, "What are you doing? It's so easy. I just hit a home run myself." And of course, in the spectrum, you have t-ball, then you might have slow-pitch softball. But what's at the other end of the spectrum? Major leagues, right? The highest form of baseball that there could be. You think that guy who was doing well at his company picnic would do all right standing in the batter's box against Randy Johnson? Who knows who Randy Johnson is? Okay, so I'm in the older generation already. He's not pitching anymore, but he was 6'10". Mammoth guy, very intimidating. And he threw the ball so hard, he was clocked at 102 miles per hour. And the science of it is such that since he's so tall and his wingspan so long, people had even less time to see the ball and to swing and hit it once it left his hand. So he was very difficult to get a hit off of. How would this guy do in comparison to him? Probably not so well. When we compare ourselves, we have to remember who it is that we're comparing ourselves to. Who it is that we're looking at for this comparison. Zacchaeus on that day, he chose to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He climbed up into the tree and he looked at the Lord. That's who he compared himself to. Who did the other people compare themselves to? Zacchaeus. And they thought they were better than he was. I want to share with you on St. Maximus the Confessor's Day, who the church celebrates, a beautiful quote. It's actually in your bulletin. If you have your bulletin, you can pull it out. He talks to us about wealth. And in speaking to us, he probably could also speak to the people of Jericho, Zacchaeus included. And he gives a very powerful teaching. By the way, who knows who St. Maximus is? Right? He's kind of the Randy Johnson, if you will, of the fathers. He was the most articulate and powerful speaker of his day. You know how good he was? You know what his enemies did to him? Exiled him, cut out his tongue, and cut off his right hand. That's how powerfully he spoke the gospel. That's how powerfully he spoke about Jesus Christ, the God-man. He says about wealth, "There are three reasons for the love of money: pleasure seeking, vainglory, and lack of faith. And more serious than the first two is lack of faith. The hedonist, the pleasure lover, loves money because with it he lives in luxury. The vain person, because with it he can be praised. The person who lacks faith, because he can hide it and keep it while in fear of hunger, old age, illness, or exile. He lays his hope on it rather than God, the maker and provider of the whole creation." If you will, St. Maximus is on the pitcher's mound, and he just threw three strikes that the people of Jericho all swung and missed at. Because it wasn't just Zacchaeus who wanted money. They wanted it too. That's what the people of this world seek after. Zacchaeus just went about it the wrong way. He broke the law. But St. Maximus is saying, actually, these three things are not what we should be pursuing money for. He says, there are actually four kinds of people who acquire money. The three just mentioned, and the financial steward. Obviously, only the steward acquires it for the right reason, so that he might never run short in relieving each one's need. The fourth reason to pursue wealth is so that we might help others. And in fact, that's the only legitimate reason. Because our life is found in others, right? It's as simple as love for God and love for one's neighbor. So money has to fit into that equation. What we acquire is actually so that we might use it in love for God and love for one's neighbor. It's pretty simple stuff, but so is a 102-mile-an-hour fastball. It's a straight shot, but it's hard to hit. Now we might say, well, okay, this is very difficult. This is very difficult. Why does the Lord require us to be at this level? Doesn't he want us to get into heaven? Wouldn't it be easier if we just played t-ball? Or slow pitch softball even? Why are we in the major leagues? Good question, right? Doesn't he want us to be saved? Think about Zacchaeus. And this is the key. If you will, this is the epiphany of the day. What did Zacchaeus do when he stepped into the batter's box and he didn't see St. Maximus the Confessor? He saw the Lord Jesus himself. What did he do? The Lord said, I'm coming to your house today. Get in the batter's box. What did the Lord say to him when he went into his house? Nothing. Zacchaeus is standing there holding the bat. He sees the Lord Jesus. He puts down the bat and he runs out in the outfield and he joins his team. He says, I get it. This life is not about me. This life is about you. I want to trade in my life. I don't want to do the impossible. I want to do what with God is possible. He traded in. Instead of batting for himself, he became selfless. And he united himself with the Lord. How many people did that in Jericho that day? I only heard one. Zacchaeus, right? I also mentioned his household. Well, hopefully the family went along with that too. But why didn't the others? They were pretty content with themselves. They were like the guy at the company picnic. And the Lord says to the self-righteous, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That's why I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, God, you will die in your sins. The spectrum doesn't just go horizontally, left and right, but it goes vertically. The low end are the evildoers, those who are esteemed only in hell. In the middle are those on earth, the self-righteous, who do have their esteem on earth from men. At the top end of the spectrum are the godly, those who are esteemed by God in heaven. The self-righteous might say, with regard to wealth, I didn't steal it. I earned it. I don't waste it like prodigals. I painstakingly save it. Get off my back. It's mine. Well, the godly will say, it was never mine. It is not mine. And it will never be mine. I don't want it. I want to be a steward, not just of money, but of the manifold grace of God. Who's heard that expression, the manifold grace of God? If you read 1 Peter 4:10, you know it. He says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve one another. All of our wealth is meant to be used in service and love. By the way, St. Maximus the Confessor, his quote was from 400 chapters on what? Financial management? Banking? No, it was on love. 400 chapters on love. That's where his financial teaching came in. Because the Lord's teaching on stewardship is found in the context of love. What happened with Zacchaeus after he put down his bat and he got in the outfield? He was made into a bishop in the church. He was the first bishop of Caesarea. And he was the only one, again, on that day that entered through the narrow gate. The Lord says, "In everything then, do unto others as you would have them do to you." The golden rule. This is the essence of the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Were many of them publicans and thieves? No. They were normal, self-righteous people on earth. But small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. Brothers and sisters, did you know that Jericho is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world? And you know, what happened then is what happens now. Jericho becomes a microcosm of every place on earth where people live for themselves. Zacchaeus that day chose to be not of this world. He chose not to live for himself, but to find his life in God through Christ Jesus. And he became a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. On that day, Zacchaeus was saved. On this day, in this place, at this time, as we look forward to Pascha, our incorporation into the death and rising of Christ, what do we want to do with our life? Do we want to still pursue the best version of ourselves? Or do we want to simply say, enough is enough. Drop the bat. Get on the Lord's team. Become part of his life. Enter into his kingdom. So that he could say, today, salvation has come to you and to your household. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.